We're up to paragraph Yud Beis in Torah Zayin and Likutei Moran Tanina. And here again, we're in the middle of a section in this chapter where Rabbeinu Zal has already completed presenting all the thoughts that he wanted to present here. And he's up to the point where he's reviewing all the thoughts and showing how they're all included within certain concepts. Now, we mentioned that the last 3 years of Rabbeinu Zal's life, he suffered tremendously from tuberculosis, which is an illness which affects the lungs. And because of that, many of the chapters on Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal spoke at that time, many of the teachings that he taught, he would always try to include something in it about the lungs, speaking about how the lungs are discussed in the Torah with the hope of being able to draw a refuah, to be able to effect a cure for himself by speaking Divrei Torah on this topic, on the topic of the lungs. The fact is, Rabbeinu Zal told his students that the last 3 years that he lived was extremely miraculous, because the doctors had said that as soon as he got this tuberculosis, that he had a couple of weeks to go, because he had a very severe case of it, and he was able to stretch it for a couple of years. There's no question at all that that had a lot to do with his own efforts to preserve his life by davening and by speaking Divrei Torah about it, and also obviously the efforts of his Talmidim who davened for him to be zeche, you know, to extend his time with them. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas mezeg horeya." Everything we've discussed till now is also included within the functioning of the lungs. Kishehoreya hi bemezeg hashoveh, because when the lungs of a person are functioning in a balanced manner, everything is going on properly. Hi kluda mikol habechinos hanal. The lungs contain in them all the different aspects of Kiddusha that we've discussed so far. And Rabbeinu Zal is going to take us through them one at a time. Ki horeyo hi me'ira seinayim, kemoi shem razal, because the Gemara tells us in Chulin that if a person wants to improve his eyesight, one of the foods to eat that does that is lung. Eating the lung of an animal, lung is good for the eyes. So Rabbeinu Zal says, ze bechinas talmid, shehasagosoi bechinas vo'eres Hashem. This corresponds with the concept of a student that we discussed earlier, because we discussed two levels, a student and a son. We said that those corresponded to Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshaya HaNavi, two different levels of prophets. One who saw Hashem much, much clearer, much in a much higher level. One who saw Hashem on a lower level. Now, to the one who was on a higher level, to him it was more obvious how distant Hashem was from him than the one on a lower level. Meaning, the one on the lower level, to him it seemed as though he saw Hashem. He used the wording vo'eres Hashem. Whereas the one who was closer to the light, in a sense, to him, he was more conscious of the fact that he couldn't see Hashem. The ayin lo yira asol kim zol asecha. Just like when you're dealing with a really bright light, let's say the light of the sun, if you're not looking at it clearly, you can see it as being light. If you're looking at it directly and you stare at it, you see black spots. So here again, the higher level Navi was the one who was able to say more so that he didn't see Hashem, whereas the lower level was the one who made the statement Vo'eres Hashem. So if we say that the lungs has to do with improving eyesight, that corresponds to the concept of the Talmud who uses the term Vo'eres Hashem, I do see Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says, Gam al yidei horeyo bo sheino. We know that the lungs also play an important part in a person sleeping. As Rabbeinu Zal explained in a few chapters ago, we had this, that generally it's known that people sleep better in the winter than they do in the summer. Why? That winter is more conducive for sleep than summer. Why? Because the nature of the body is that in a cold, wet atmosphere, where when it's cold and damp, that's very conducive for a deep type of sleep. So Rabbeinu Zal says, therefore we see the lungs also affect sleep very much. Why? Because the lungs are that unit in the body which provide the coolness and dampness, the moisture, the wetness, and the cooling agent to the body. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Ze bechinas hasogas haben. This concept of the lungs being conducive to sleep, that corresponds to the concept of the sun that we discussed before. S-O-N. Shehasagosoi bechinas mo. We said that his understanding of Hashem is the concept of what? In other words, he's a much higher level where he understands that he doesn't understand. He knows that he's on a level called what? Where? Where is Hashem? Bechinas machomis mapishpesh. As we mentioned earlier, Sheze bechinas sheino. That's a concept of sleep. Bechinas ayin loy roa solikim zulasecha. We know there's a pasuk in Yeshaya where the pasuk discusses the highest level of coming close to Hashem, meaning Gan Eden, let's say, is referred to as a place which no human eye has ever seen. Meaning that when we think about ourselves in relation to Gan Eden, our eyes are closed. We're in a state of sleep for Gan Eden, meaning we have not seen it. It's not visible to us. Our eyes are closed from it. So we said before that the lungs, number one, are conducive to vision. That's how they correspond to the Bechinas Talmud. Rabbein Zal says now the lungs are also conducive to sleep, which is a concept of the sun, this higher level knowledge, which refers to the knowledge of Gan Eden, about which it's written, Ayin Loy Rasa, that the eyes cannot have not seen it. The eyes are closed from it. Rabbi Nizal says, "Veruach hachaim shebetoy choreo," and the breath of life that exists, that circulates in the lungs, zebechinas makifin hanal. That corresponds to the makifin that we discussed earlier. This halo around the person's heads, referring to the knowledge that a person hasn't yet achieved. Bechinas soivev soivev hoylech haruach. There's a pasuk in Koheles where King Solomon says that the wind goes round and round in circles. So we see that ruach is something that's associated with makif, going round and round, soivev soivev. So the lungs, which are a container of ruach, we see their association with this concept of makifin. Rabbi Nezal says bechinas veruach al ponai yachloif, and we also have an association between ruach and the ponim, the oir haponim. We discussed in this chapter earlier that another way, a synonym of the concept of makif, is oir haponim. It's called the 370 lights of the face of Hashem, kaviyachol. So Rabbi Nezal says there's a pasuk, veruach al ponai yachloif, that the wind passes by my face. Again, we see an association between the lung, which is a container of ruach, and this face, bechinas oir haponim. Ukishehashmanim shel horeo heim bemezek hashova, and when the liquids of the lung, the moisture in the lung, is in proper balance, al yideze meir oir haponim, that causes the person's face to reflect a lit up look, a happy face. Bechinas lahatzil ponim mishemen, to improve the look of one, the appearance of one's face through oil, as we discussed earlier. We're showing how in the lung is reference to every single concept that we mentioned before. Hainu al yidei hashmanim shel horeo meir oir haponim bechinas makifin. Through the good quality of the oils and liquids of the lungs, that causes the light of the face to shine properly. Bechinas makifin. V'hayodayim hanal shem biyam hachochma kanal, and the concept of the hands that exist within the sea of knowledge, which we discussed two weeks ago in the shir, bohem nizgal oir haponim. We said that in those hands is revealed the light of the face. Bechinas makifin, this concept of this halo. Bechinas heoras harotzayin, which refers to this super high level of yearning towards Hashem. Bechinas poiseach es yodecho kanal, which corresponds to the pasuk where we ask Hashem to open up His hands and give forth parnoso shefa. Rabbi Nezal says v'zehu bechinas chata. This is the concept of one of the angels in heaven whose name is Chatach. He's the angel who is appointed over Parnosa. Shehu Seifei Tevois Shel Poiseach Es Yodecho. His name makes an appearance in the last letters of the words Poiseach Es Yodecho. Hashem, open up your hands and provide us with whatever we need. The last letters of Poiseach Es Yodecho make up the name of the angel in heaven who's appointed over Parnosa. So Rabbi Nezal says, we see that this angel, which corresponds to these Yodayim Shebiyam HaChochma, which we spoke about earlier, his name is Chatach. And you should, Shehu Shem Shel Parnosa Kamo, which is the name of Hashem for Parnosa. And you should know that there's an association between this angel and the lungs also, because the Arizal says, Chatach Beis Pa'omim Ruach, that this angel's name, Chatach, is Bigimatria twice Ruach. So we see that the lungs, the two lungs, each one of them contains in them this ruach, twice Ruach is bigematria, the name of the angel who represents Parnosa. So we see again an association between the lungs and this Parnosa, this Poseach es Yodecho, this Yodayim Shebiyam HaChochma that we discussed earlier. Hainu Shebe'elu HaYodayim Hanal Nizgala B'chinas HaMakifin. We explained earlier that in these hands is revealed the Makifin, this deep wisdom. Shehim B'chinas Soivev Soivev HaYolecha Ruach, which is this concept of round and round goes this wind, this concept of the wind going round, a concept of makif. Because we said there are certain thoughts which a Rebbe is not even permitted to reveal to his students. The only way he can reveal it to them is by hand signals, by motions. There are certain motions, certain hints, signs that are given by the hands that are even a higher level wisdom than what a person actually speaks out. Bechinas v'ruach al pona yachleif that we quoted earlier. V'zeh bechinas, this is also what's referred to in the pasuk in Yechezkel Hanavi, where he saw a heavenly vision of angels, and he says there, videi odom mitachas kanfehem, that these angels had hands under their lungs, under the side of the body, the place where the lung is. Rabbi Elazar says, "Bechinas kanfei horeya," under their wings. There, the word kanfeihem refers to the wings, that their hands were beneath the wings. The word knofayim means wings. The word knofayim is also used to refer to the two branches of the lungs, which are shaped like wings. Rabbi Elazar says, "Bechinas kanfei horeya." This corresponds to the wings of the lungs. Sheshom soivev haruach. That's where this wind goes round and round. This wind, this air, circulates. Bechinas makifin, shemishom nimshach bechinas horas hayadayim. From there, videi odom mitachas kanfeihem. From the kanfei horeya comes forth this power of the yodayim, everything that we discuss in this chapter that was represented by the concept of yodayim. So here again, Rabbi Nizal showed, through his broad scope of knowledge of Torah, psukim in Torah, and ideas in Torah, he showed how within this concept of the lungs is included every single item that we've discussed so far, showing that if a Jew is zeichet to perfect his lungs, both physically and spiritually, especially to keep his lungs bikdusha. How do you keep your lungs bikdusha? The answer is the Mefarshim tell us that there are 613 mitzvot in the Torah which correspond to the 613 parts of the body. So if a Jew is zeichet to complete himself in all 613 mitzvot, that's how he perfects spiritually every single part of his body. So Rabbi Nizal says here that if a Yid is zeichet to have his lungs bishleimus, he should know that in the lungs is contained all the different aspects of Kiddusha that we spoke about so far in this chapter. Next, Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh bechinas, this is also what's referred to in a pasuk in Mishlei, where the pasuk says, ruach ish yechalkel machalehu. The word ruach here refers to a person's intellect. A person's intellect will sustain him even when he's sick. Meaning when a person's sick, and let's say at that point in time he doesn't enjoy food, you know, there's very little that can get him excited at that point in time. If he's intelligent, his intelligence will carry him through even a point in time when he's sick. His wisdom, the knowledge of Torah. Rabbi Nizal says, ruach ish, the term ruach ish, ze bechinas ruach hachaim kanal. That also corresponds, the word ruach means wisdom, the word ruach also means breath of air. This corresponds to the air within the lungs. Shehu bechinas soivev soivev hoylecha ruach. As we mentioned earlier, this pasuk that the ruach goes round and round. They're referring to the makifin, the wisdom, the high-level wisdom of the makifin, this halo around the person's head. Shemishom nimshach parnoso v'chalkolo. From there comes forth parnoso. Rabbi Nizal is bringing another pasuk to substantiate, to show the connection between the lungs and parnoso. Ruach ish, the wind, the breath, yechalkel, will sustain. The word sustain, kalkola, means parnoso. It's another word for parnoso. Bechinas yechalkel kanal. Note the word in that pasuk that's used is yechalkel, to sustain. So we see that the lungs have an association with this concept of parnoso that we discussed earlier.
I think we're not supposed to use the name of an angel that isn't common. So why the angel
Chatach? The answer is, I was listening to the way Rebbe Zal gave this shir, and I noticed that Rebbe Zal did mention this angel's name. So it seems that this angel is one of the more common ones where we are permitted to mention his name. And you'll note, especially specifically in the Sephardic Siddurim, they have this angel's name mentioned prominently many, many places. The angel is appointed over Parnoso. There's a tremendous amount written about this angel, that this is the whole reason why the Gemara says that goyim, when they break bread, they tear the bread. They break it apart with their hands. Whereas by Jews, there's a tremendous significance of cutting the bread, because the Hebrew word for cut is lachtoich, to cut, and the Hebrew word chatach refers to this angel who's appointed over parnasa. So when a Jew goes about his act of cutting the bread in a more civilized manner than goyim tearing the bread, that's a way of attaching oneself to this angel who's appointed over parnasa. There's a lot written about it. If you recall, if you look back to Torah Samach Vov in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, chapter 66, there Rabbein Ezal discussed a whole broad topic referring to this angel. There was a whole major discussion there about this angel. So could be that's why this angel is one of those whose names we do mention more so than some others that we don't. That's the only reason why I mentioned his name, was because I heard Rabbein Ezal did also.
So why does Rabbein Ezal say the shame chasach? And doesn't the word shame refer to one of the names of Hashem?
Excuse me?
Doesn't when you say the shame so and so refer to one of the names of Hashem?
Yes.
So if it's named Malach, why does Rabbein Ezal say the shame?
The answer is because here again, the names of angels are generally a reflection of names of Hashem. In other words, there's no question at all that this Malach's name is also referred to as one of the names of Hashem, Kaviyachal. No, like the fact that they have Kale in all of their names shows an incredible association between them and Hashem. You understand? That's the whole secret about Acher. Acher made a mistake with the Malach Memtes. Hashem said, Al Tamer Boy, Ki Shmi Bekir Boy, if you recall the Pasuk in Chumash, where it says Hashem said he's going to send an angel to go before the Jews when they were leaving, you know, when they were going through the desert. And Hashem said, Al Tamer Boy, don't make a mistake in him. Ki Shmi Bekir Boy. Here's your answer. Because my name is in him. In each one of the names of Malachim is actual reflections of names of Hashem. For example, the Malach Memtes, his name is exactly Bigimatria Shakai, as we explain many times. So, you know, you have a tremendous association between the names of angels and the names of Hashem himself, Kaviyachal. Now Rabbein Ezal says, V'alkein, and therefore, now we're going to go back way, way, way back to the beginning of this chapter, to what we discussed over there, the tremendous importance of fear. If you recall, this Torah started off about the importance of speaking to one's friends about Hashem, and specifically discussing fear of Hashem. And Rabbein Ezal showed how important it is that if a person wants to have any effect on somebody else religiously by speaking to them about religion, the most important ingredient that they need is fear of Hashem. Because the Gemara says, "Kol mi sheyesh bo yirah shamayim, dvarav nishmoim," that if a person has fear of Hashem, his words will be welcomed, number one, and number two, his words will have a more permanent, lasting effect than one who's lacking in yirah shamayim. So now Rabbein Ezal is going to swing back to that. V'alkein, and therefore, kishema'ainim u'medabrim me'eze chidush shechidesh hachocham shebedoyer, whenever a Jew looks into, examines, studies, or discusses a chiddush that was nischadesh by a chacham adoyer, he discusses words of Torah that were brought forth by tzaddikim of earlier generations or of his own generation, azay noifel yiro al ze shemedaber umayin ba'chiddush. You'll note that the one who's discussing or studying any chiddush that was said by a tzaddik, the nature is that he'll find himself imbued with fear of Hashem. He'll feel a fear of Hashem upon him. Why? Ki kishechayz remes hachiddush, when we review this chiddush, azay nisoirer venizgale yam hachochmo shemisham mekabel hamalchus esaparnoso. Whenever we review a chiddush that was said by a tzaddik, by a Talmud Chacham, we arouse and reveal the sea of knowledge, this Yam HaChochma, from which, by the way, we said that's where the Malchus draws its Parnosa. V'azai bo b'chinas ha-Malchus l'hamshich Parnosa. In other words, note, the location from which Parnosa is gotten is the same location from where knowledge of Torah is gotten. We said Yam HaChochma. It's the sea of knowledge. That's where the Yodayim draw their Parnosa. That's why, if you recall, we have the minhag. When you're washing for bread, you wash your hands, and then what do? You lift up your hands to your head. You say, Se'u Yedeichem Kodesh Uvarchu Es Hashem. And when you make the bracha, Asher Kitchom says, it's all to say, yadayim, your hands should be opposite your head. Why? To show that you're drawing parnosa, achila and parnosa are two words that we use synonymously many times, that you're trying to draw the shefa from your head into your hands, from the yam hachochma into the yadayim shebiyam hachochma. So Rabbi Nazal says, now, anytime we discuss chidushei Torah that was said by a Talmud Chacham, we're accessing this head, which is the same location from where the malchus is going to draw parnasa. And Rabbi Nazal says, and we know the ikar hayiro hi b'malchus. We know the main concept of fear is associated with the attribute of Hashem called Malchus, kingdom. Kemay shekosuv, as the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, il mole mayro'o shel Malchus ish esrei'o chayim b'loi. The Mishnah says, were it not for the fear that people have for government, for punishment, for the Supreme Court, that kind of thing, each person would swallow up his friend. So note the wording of the Mishnah, il mole mayro'o shel Malchus, fear of government, fear of leadership, fear of the kingdom. So we see that fear is associated with Malchus, kingdom. So Rabbi Nazal says, "Va'azai nisoirer hayiru shel hachocham shechidesh ze achidesh." So you should know, whenever a Jew reviews a chiddush which was said by a chacham, meaning he's accessing this yam hachochma, which is the same location where the malchus goes to get its parnasa, this malchus which is the source of yira, the person automatically taps into this yira also. By drawing from the chidushei Torah that exists in this yam hachochma, he automatically receives from this yira that's associated with the malchus that's also coming to draw from this yam hachochma. Ki Toloi Beira, because everything that we discussed in here is dependent on fear of Hashem. Because we said that any Talmud Chacham, any Tzaddik who wants his words to be accepted by people must have this fear of Hashem. So that people should be willing to listen to him, number one. And number two, so that his words should have a lasting effect. Rabbi Nazal says, and therefore, whenever a Jew reviews a chiddush that was said by a chacham shebikdusha, she'azai bo bechinas hamalchus lekabel misham parnosa, that's a point in time when the kingdom goes to draw parnosa. O malchus bechinas yira, and kingdom is a concept of fear. Vaydezen is oirer yira shelachacham kanal. There is automatically aroused the fear of this chacham who originally said this chiddush. Alkein noifel yira alze shemayin v'achidish. Therefore, any Jew who studies these chidushim will find that he also receives from this yira. Now let's bring this down in simpler form. We find the Gemara says, kol hamekabel olav oil Torah, they throw away from him the oil derech eretz. That you should know that a Jew in this world must work. There's no question about that. The Gemara says, according to how much you're willing to throw yourself into the work of the study of Torah, that's how much they remove from you the yoke of parnosa, the yoke of having to work for a living. The more effort, the more diligence, the more push you put into the study of Torah, the less you're going to have to put into parnosa, meaning that your parnosa will be supplied for you in an easier way, more automatic, without you having to exert tremendous effort. And Rabbi Nazal brings, if you recall, in Torah Nun Vav and Likutei Moran Tanina, Rabbi Nazal says that lefi goydel hadas kein nimshach haparnosa benokel, that according to how high a person's level of das is, that's what determines how easy it is for him to obtain his parnosa. So we see there's a tremendous association between these two, that the chachma and the parnosa are very, very closely hooked up. So here Rabbi Nazal shows us that you should know that any time a Jew reviews the chachma, the chidushei Torah that was said by earlier tzaddikim, by which he's tapping this yam hachachma, automatically, simultaneously, at the same time, there's parnosa being nimshach for him. According to how much Torah you study, that also has an effect, an equal effect on your parnosa. Equal meaning a correspondingly equal, not or in ratio it's equal. So therefore, because of the fact that the bringing forth of parnosa is very much associated with yira, because parnosa comes comes specifically via the king, as we explained earlier. And the king is a concept of fear. All fear the king, Meiro Shel Malchus. Therefore, one of the natural byproducts of studying Torah is that you'll get Yira also. As the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, Im Ein Yira Ein Chachma, Im Ein Chachma Ein Yira. That Chachma is also a key to Yira. That whenever you're going to try to get Chachma, Yira will also, there is an association, a hookup between the two, and you'll automatically get the Yira also, if you want. Naturally, the more aware a person is of this, the more conscious a person is of this, and he has this kavana when he sits down to learn Gemara, let's say, Torah Shebal Peh, any aspect of Torah Shebal Peh, which is the chidushim of the Chachmei Hador, and he has kavana that he wants to also draw Parnasa and Yira at that time, he will definitely be able to do so, because Rabbeinu Zal has proved here through these psukim that there is a tremendous association between these things.
According to the way Rabbeinu Zal is explaining it, like you get the Yira because the Siyam HaChachma is aroused, and you get your Parnasa, and since you're getting Parnasa, the Malchus is...
Source of Yira.
Malchus is affected, which is a source of Yira, and he says you get the Yira of this Chacham who said the Chiddush.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like the Chacham's Yira is, you know, plays a part. Just since, let's say, you sort of set this, getting the Parnasa in action, in motion, so to speak, you get, let's say, that bechino of Yira from Malchus.
Right.
But not necessarily the Yira of the Chacham.
But that's the point that he's trying to tell you that you should know. You might think it's just the Yira of Malchus. The answer is it's not true. Because this Malchus is coming to this Yam HaChachma to draw from, and this Yam HaChachma was created by this Chacham, you should know that anything that this Malchus has, what's the Malchus coming to get? Parnasa. What is Malchus also a container of? Yira. Where does it get its Yira from? Whenever it taps into the Yam HaChochma, the Chochma Doer, whom by him he never separated the Chochma and Yira. He was the one who combined the Chochma and Yira. You should know that that's the place where the Malchus gets its whole power of Yira also. So by you tapping into his Chochma, you're going to get his Yira also at the same time. You understand? That's the way it's being presented here. That by the Chochma Doer, his Chochma and Yira are very much associated. That's why the Malchus can draw from there. That's why there's such a super association between them. Therefore, when you tap into that Yam HaChochma, you're also going to be able to draw from his Yira that he had at the time that he said this Chiddush, in order to be able to get it to go into people's hearts and to list there, you're actually able to tap into that, which is an incredible Chiddush.
When you talk about Malchus, you talk about your Malchus, in a sense, your Keli that's going to receive?
Also, in other words, you have to understand that this item is to be understood on many different levels. When we use the term Malchus, it refers to the Malchus of the person himself, the one who's trying to draw Parnasa. He has, as we explained earlier, he has to have a Bechina of Malchus, not to be a Shlom Azalnik, not to be able to get Parnasa. At the same time, from Hashem, let's forget us, put us aside for a second, from Hashem, which attribute of Hashem is the one that has the closest association with Parnasa? The Malchus of Hashem. So in other words, there is an association between our Bechina of Malchus and Hashem's concept of Malchus, hooking up to be able to provide and receive the Parnasa.
The Malchus doesn't provide anything. So in other words, you have to come with your Malchus, which is your Kaylee, your female, to the aspect above, which is the provider.
Exactly.
And what is that provider? What is it corresponding when you're coming to receive through your Malchus?
Right.
What are you tying into?
To the Malchus of Hashem.
But that Malchus is not a giver.
The answer is, in a way, it is. In other words, that Malchus is not a giver on its own, but it receives from the nine levels above it, as we discussed. You understand? Kol hanacholim hoilchem elayam. All the streams feed into the ocean, and that ocean, the nekeva above, is able to provide to the nekeva below, in a sense. That's what it is. So that the Malchus of Hashem, in a sense, is mashpia to the levels below it. No question about that. That's the way it was presented earlier in this Torah. Anto Malko, you are the melech. In other words, Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. You are the king from whom all mazayin and shefa comes forth. We said, Peseach es yodecho, umazbia lechol chai rotzayin. The first letters of lechol chai rotzayin made up Rachel, who represents the Shechina, the Malchus, again. That she is the one from whom comes forth Parnasa. But again, naturally, not on her own. A female can never provide on her own, only what she receives from the male above her.
Is it conceivable? Could you person put the seals in his letters?
He should. If you look in Likutei Tefilos, there is a chapter, a long chapter of Tefillah, where Rav Nosson Zal discusses applying all of this in Tefillah, begging Hashem to be Zeche. Once I heard that all of this is affected, ask Hashem to be Zeche to study the Chidushei Torah of these Chachmei Ador, and to be able to study it in a manner where while I'm studying it, I receive the Yira that the Chacham had at the time that he said this Chiddush, and I'm able to affect this Parnosa Benokel, etc., etc., all of these things.
Should my aspect of Malchus interface with your aspect of Malchus?
Most definitely. 1,000,000,000%. 100%. Okay, now we get to the grand finale of this chapter, and in all honesty, this is an incredible grand finale, because now Rav Enzal is going to take a story, what seems to be a simple story in Gemara, and show incredible depth in this story, how this story, number one, ties together everything we've discussed so far, but this is really a revelation. This is going to explain certain things about Moshe Rabbeinu that we never understood. In other words, we spoke here about a great rabbi and a teacher having a son and a student. Who is the greatest rabbi of all time, unquestionably? Moshe Rabbeinu. Where do we see all of this from him? Rabbeinu Zal says now, v'zeh pirush, this is also the explanation, one of the explanations of a Gemara in Baba Basra. Now note, these stories that appear in Baba Basra, there are several interpretations of them. The Marsho gives an interpretation, Rabbeinu Zal gives an interpretation, and all the interpretations are valid, no question at all. It's just that the one that we're going to discuss now is the one that Rabbeinu Zal gives on this topic. V'zeh pirish, this is the explanation of the story that appears in the Gemara Baba Basra, Daf Ayin Dalid, Maisa Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. There was a story with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, who were the two of the rabbis of Rabbi Akiva. Shoyu boim b'sfina. They were traveling in a ship. V'hoya Rabbi Eliezer Yoshon, Rabbi Yeshua Neyar. Rabbi Eliezer was asleep, and Rabbi Yeshua was awake. Nizdaza Rabbi Yeshua, suddenly Rabbi Yeshua trembled, something happened that made him tremble, v'ninar Rabbi Eliezer, and as a result, Rabbi Eliezer, who was asleep from the trembling of Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer woke up from his sleep. Omar le, so Rabbi Eliezer, who just woke up, said to Rabbi Yeshua, Maze Yehoshua, what happened, Rabbi Yeshua? Mipnei ma nizdazist, what caused you to tremble? Omar Loi, so Rabbi Yeshua said to him, Mo'er Godoil Roisi Bayam, I saw a very, very great light in the ocean, and that's what caused me to be shocked, that's what caused me to tremble suddenly. Omar Loi, so Rabbi Eliezer said to him, Shemo Eino Shelevioson Rois, possibly what you saw was the eyes of the Leviathan, the Leviathan, this very, very great fish of the sea. Shenemar, because there's a pasuk that says about the eyes of this fish, Einov ke'afape shachar, that its eyes are like the darkness, the pupil of the eye of this fish is like the darkness of the beginning of morning. In other words, when the morning star first begins to come up, there's like a darkness at that time where the light is first starting to come up. The pupil of the eye of this fish has an appearance of this beginning, the opening light of day. This is a story that appears in the Gemara. Now here again, any person who understands on the lowest level what Gemara is Torah. It's intended to make us religious, to help us serve Hashem better, to make us intelligent. This seems so silly to be mentioned in Gemara. The Gemara should tell us a story. This one was sleeping, this one was up, he woke up. There's no way in the world you can say that what's being presented here is just the simple meaning alone. There has to be depth behind this. And Rabbeinu Zal is going to show a very, very high level of depth behind this.
This word, afape, like what does it mean? How do you like to say afapoi, like the eye? Is it related?
Yes, it means the pupil of the eye. It's another word that means the pure hamavir sheno meena usnuma me af apai.
But since it says ka'afafe shachar,
right?
How could the shachar have the pupil of the eye?
The word shachar here, we're using the word shachar to mean darkness. Shachar means black. That's the way it's being used here. But it's also being used to refer to that opening light like of the morning, when it's still dark outside and it's just starting to get light. You understand? That's the appearance of the pupil of the eye of this fish. Now Rabbi Nizal explains. Now note, those that are familiar with Moshe Rabbeinu know that Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons, the Torah tells us. He had a son called, his first son was Eliezer, his second son was Gershon. And the wording in the Chumash is, V'shem Ho'echod Eliezer. The name of the first one is Eliezer. There's a Medrash that says, what does this mean, the name of the first one? That there's tremendous significance to that. That this refers to the first Eliezer. There's another first Eliezer. The first rabbi to be mentioned in the entire Shas is a Reb Eliezer, who was known as HaGodol, the Great One, Reb Eliezer. Also a concept of first. Gedula is the first of the seven lower spheres. Gedula, Chesed, the first one. So there's a Medrash that says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was in heaven, he saw Rabbi Akiva, and he saw that Rabbi Akiva was an incredibly great tzaddik. So he asked Hashem, in other words, he found out that this Rabbi Akiva had a rabbi also, and his rabbi was Reb Eliezer. So Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem that he should be zeicher, that the rabbi of Rabbi Akiva should be from his descendants. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem that the rabbi of Rabbi Akiva, whose name was Reb Eliezer HaGodol, that he should be from the descendants of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash tells us, and the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, that Moshe Rabbeinu was granted this wish. And this is the secret that's hinted to when the Pasuk tells us, V'shem Ho'echod Eliezer, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a son called Eliezer. This Eliezer was going to be the seed for the Reb Eliezer HaGodol to come forth later, who was going to be a Gilgal of the son Eliezer of Moshe Rabbeinu. This was how Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to have this Reb Eliezer HaGodol come from him. And this is why the wording that's used is V'shem Ho'echod, the one, the first one, referring to this great Reb Eliezer HaGodol. That's the son of Moshe Rabbeinu, the prime son of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu also had a student, one student who was the greatest of his students, unquestionably, called Yehoshua. So we see automatically, right off the bat, that the name Eliezer and Yehoshua refers to a concept of a son and a student. Rabbi Nizal says, Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua, Zebachinas ben v'talmid. Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua represent the concept of a son and a student. Reb Eliezer Zebechinas Ben. Reb Eliezer represents the concept of the son, Shehasogosoi Bechinas Mo. We explained earlier, the son is the one who has the higher level understanding, because we said as much as a student can glean from his rabbi, the son who actually comes from the rabbi, where every part of him, every hair on his body from head to toe, actually originated from the seed of his father, the rabbi, so there he is more so encompassed from the holiness of the rabbi than the student of the rabbi. So Rabbi Nizal said that the understanding of the son is referred to as mo, this level of nothing, a much higher level understanding. Bechinas machomish mapishbe, bechinas kilo yirani hodom. That's the statement that was said to Moshe Rabbeinu, kilo yirani hodom v'choi. We said that by Yeshaya Hanovi, who was a lower level Novi, he said, vo'eres Hashem, I got to see Hashem. By Moshe Rabbeinu, who was certainly a much, much greater level Novi, to him Hashem said, ki lo yirani hodom v'choi, no person can see me, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu was zeicha to receive from Hashem the level called not being able to see. In other words, the hidden part, which is a much, much higher level than that which Yeshaya Hanavi saw, which he referred to as I saw Hashem. This is a very interesting concept that you don't realize it at first when you're learning it, but when you see the way Rabbi Nizal presents it, it puts it in perspective. That this concept of not seeing is a concept of secret, a higher level revelation than the one who said, I did see. Rabbi Nizal says, Bechinas ayin lo yiroa soli kimzu asecha. There's a pasuk in Navi where the pasuk describes Gan Eden as something which no human eye has seen. The human eye cannot comprehend it. Rabbi Nizal says, V'ze b'chinas Reb Eliezer. This is the concept of Reb Eliezer. Roshei tevois ayin lo yiroa soli kimzu asecha ya'ase l'machakaloi. Note, the word Eliezer itself makes up the first letters of this sentence in Navi, which talks about a light which can't even be seen. Ayin lo yiroa, so no eye has ever set eyes, no person has ever set eyes on the incredible beauty of Gan Eden. So now, note incredibly, this word Eliezer, which represents the sun, which is the super high level of wisdom, that corresponds to this posuk in Novi, which refers to the hidden light, the super hidden light. Shezeh Bechinas Ben, which is the concept of a son, S-O-N, which we discussed earlier in this chapter. This is why Moshe Rabbeinu had a son called Eliezer. Rabbi Yehoshua Zebechinas Talmud. The rabbi called Rabbi Yehoshua in this story. He represents the concept of the student, the prime student of Moshe Rabbeinu called Yehoshua. Shehasagosoi hu Bechinas Malay Cholorets Kevoidai. To him, the rabbi represents an image that the kavod of Hashem fills the whole world. In other words, the student is the one who's on a lower level, where we're afraid of him giving up hope. To him, we give words of consolation, that you should know Hashem is very close to you. Hashem is all around you. Malay chol aretz kevodei. Hashem's kavod fills the entire world. Bechinas vo'eres Hashem. That's the concept of the prophet who said, I did see Hashem. Shezeh bechinas ha'asogo shel dorei mato. That's the level of understanding of the lower level prophets. This refers to the students who have to be aroused and consoled so that they shouldn't chas v'shalom give up hope entirely. They're the ones whom we're afraid that because they're so low, there's a chance of them falling out through the bottom. They have to constantly be strengthened and consoled and be given words of consolation. The Bechina says, the Pasuk says, Hokitzu v'rananu sheikh me'ofor. Wake up and sing, you who are sleeping in the ground. You are on a very low level. Ulahar islamen, to show them ki maloy choloretz kevoidei, that the kavod of Hashem fills the entire world. V'zeh bechinas Rabbi Yeshua. This literally describes the concept of Rabbi Yeshua. Why? Ki Yehoshua, because the word Yehoshua, Rosh Teva, makes up the exact first letters of the pasuk, Yichyu Meisecho Nevelosi, Yekumun Hokitzu V'rananu Sheikh Neofar. Stand up and wake up and sing, you who are sleeping in the ground. Note, there's a pasuk in Novi which discusses those who are on a very low level, and the prophet says to them, wake up, pull yourselves up from your low level, and sing forth to Hashem. The first letters of that pasuk make up the exact word Yehoshua, showing that Yehoshua represents this lower level, the student, the one who's relatively on a lower level compared to the son, who constantly needs consolation, chizuk, his chaskus. Moshe Rabbeinu shehu bechinas chacham ador. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the chacham ador, who was the leading rabbi of his generation and of all generations, shehu meir beben v'talmid. We explained earlier that the way that a chacham ador operates is that he shines into both of these. He's the one who's able to access both levels, the son and the student. Al kein hoyoloi ben shehoya shmo Eliezer. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu possessed a son called Eliezer. The Talmud Sheshmo Yehoshua, and a student whose name was Yehoshua. We wonder, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu name his son Avraham? If they're Avraham Avinu, in other words, out of all the names to pick, why did he want to be original and pick a name called Eliezer? And this Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest student, we would imagine that there's tremendous depth and significance in his name. In this chapter, in Likutei Moran, is revealed the secret behind the name given to one of the sons of Moshe Rabbeinu and the name of Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest student, Yehoshua. Rabbeinu also says Moshe Rabbeinu had a son called Eliezer, the Talmud Sheshmo Yehoshua. Ki Eliezer ben Moshe, Eliezer, the son of Moshe Rabbeinu, who bechinas Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol kanal. He represents this rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol, kemuva b'medrash, as is presented in the medrash al posuk v'shem ho'echad Eliezer, in the posuk in Parshas Yisroi, where it says that the name of the first child of Moshe Rabbeinu was Eliezer. The medrash says, ho'echad ha'meyuchad. The word echad means special, ha'meyuchad, the special one. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu bikesh al zeh. The Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem for this. Sheyihye Rebbe Eliezer miyotzei chalotzo. That Rebbe Eliezer should be from his descendants. V'niskayim kein. And he was granted this wish. How? That in his son Eliezer was reflected this concept of Rebbe Eliezer HaGodol, this great rabbi who was zeichet to this great hasogo. This is phase one. We're going to have now a whole two more paragraphs that are going to explain this whole story and show how all the pieces fit. We'll try to do a little piece more. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh." Now let's get to the story. V'hoya Rabbi Eliezer Yoshan v'Rabbi Yeshua Neir. The Gemara tells us. Did I skip something? Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped something. V'zeh Maisa b'Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yeshua. Note, the Gemara begins with the words, "A story about Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua." Maise, Rabbi Nathan says the word story has tremendous depth in it. Maise hu mo shin ayin, kemuva biksovin. We know Rabbi Nathan explained in an earlier chapter in the Kudem Ran in Teres Samach, and the Kudem Ran Chelek Aleph, Rabbi Nathan explained that you should know that as much as could be achieved by teaching a person laws and philosophy and wisdom and intellect, much when you get a person who's so far from religion that you try to teach him laws and intellect and everything and there's no way to arouse him, there's one thing that could possibly arouse him. What is that? A story. Rabbeinu Zal says you should know that this item called story is incredibly captivating. You know, with kids especially, you try to teach them something, anything, no matter how well you present it, boring. Story, you captivate their minds and you can pass along to them the maximum amount of information in a story, much more so than any other method of teaching. Why? The question is why? And the answer is here, we have to come on to the Arizal. The Arizal reveals to us, you should know that the term story shows us that this item draws from an incredibly high light from Hashem. The Hebrew word Maise, Mem Ayin Shin Hei, the Arizal says, is actually split out into two words. It has the letters Shin Ayin in it, which refer to the 370 lights of the face of Hashem, Kaviyacho, which is an incredibly high level light. Plus it has in it the word Mo, what? This concept of nothing, again, which we said refers to a very, very high level of light from Hashem. So the Arizal tells us he should know that this is why a story is so captivating, because the concept of a story is something which draws from a very, very high level of the light of Hashem. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, Maisa hu mo shin ayin, kemuva biksovim. The word maisa is actually a combination of two words, mo and shin ayin, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal. Hainu bechinas makifin hanal. This is what we discussed throughout this whole chapter. This halo around the person's head, this light called makifin, which another word for it was also oir haponim, shehein bechinas shin ayin, oirin sheoir haponim. We said that these makifin means plural, these two halos are a concept of the light of the face of Hashem Kaviyachol. How did we prove this? Because we said that twice hekif, the word hekif, hey kuf pei, is 185. Twice hekif is bigamatria shin ayin, 370. Two times 185 is 370. So hekif is miloshin makif, a halo. We said makifin because we explained in the beginning of the chapter that there are two types of makifin. One type that you can take into your head, one type that you can. So twice makif is bigamatria shin ayin. So this is what this number 370 refers to. Bechinas mo kanal, which also we refer to in this chapter as the concept of mo, what? You get a person who reaches such a high level of wisdom, he knows so much that the only thing he doesn't know now is the unattainable light of Hashem, about which the only thing he can say is what? Meaning, there's no words to describe it. There's no way to put his question into words. It's such a high level question. So the only thing he can say is mo, what? Chacham mo hu oimer, we had it in the Haggadah. So Rabbeinu Zal says, v'zehu, this is what it means when the Gemara says, shehayu boim b'sfina, they were traveling in a ship. Hainu, Rabbeinu Zal explains, shur Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, these two rabbis, shehim b'chinas ben v'talmid, who represent the concept of a son and a student, hayu mahalchim bayam, they were traveling in the ocean. Now note, where do we see an association between these two rabbis specifically and what we just said? You'll note that we spoke about the Shin Ayin Nohirin of the Oyer Haponim. You'll note that the word Yehoshua, the name Yehoshua, is actually composed of two things. It has in it the Shin Ayin, plus the remaining letters are this Yud Kei Vov Kei. This Yud Kei Vov, which represent the three letters of Hashem's name. It has in it the letters Shin Ayin plus Yud Kei Vav, which refers to Ekia. Yud Kei Vav is Bigamatria Ekia, referring to a high level light of Hashem. The name Eliezer has in it the Kael. The name of Hashem Kael plus Ezer, this term Eliezer. Again, referring to super high level names of Hashem. This the Shin Ayin of Rabbi Yeshua plus the Kael of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, Rabbein Zal says, Shehoyu Mahalchem B'yam HaChochma, they were traveling, note, it says they were in a ship. Where does a ship travel? On the ocean. That's the terminology that we used here, the ocean of wisdom, the Yam HaChochma. Sheshom Mizgalim Oiroi Samakifin. That's the place in which is revealed these Makifin that we spoke about. We said you have to go to the Yam HaChochma in which to draw these Makifin. V'zeh Bechinas Sfina. This is the reason why the vessel in which a person travels on the ocean is called Sfina. The word Sfina in Hebrew means a ship. The word Safon also means hidden. Something very, very great that's hidden. Loshen Safon V'tamon. A Loshen of hidden. Where do we see this? Safon V'tamon? There's a Gemara in Megillah where the Gemara says that it's written by one of the sons of Yaakov Avinu, learning Megillah. Usfune Tmune Chayil, right? That by one of the sons, which son of Yaakov Avinu was that? Zvulun. The Pasuk says, Zvulun Lechayf Yamim Yishkoin. Zvulun were the ones who lived by the seashore, by the port cities, and they were zeichet to Sfune Tmune Chayil. They were zeichet to have that item which is hidden in the sands of the beach. What does the Gemara say that was? The chilazain, the special worm from which we draw the tchelis and the tzitzis, the blue wool which represents the kisei hakovoi, the super sofun, the tomun, the most hidden light of Hashem, the light of the kisei hakovoi. Where was that? In the possession of Zvulun, because they were the supporters of Torah, the mefarnesim of Torah. They were zeichet to this sofun v'tomun. So note that the word sfune there is spelled with a sin, but the Gemara in Megillah says loshen sofun v'tomun. So we see that this term Safon refers to hidden. This term Safon refers to hidden. So note, they were traveling in the Yam HaChochma. What were they traveling in? A ship. The Hebrew word for ship is Sfina, which in itself, that word means hidden. Meaning, they were trying to attain this hidden light, this light of Makifin, that's referred to as Safon V'tomun, very, very hidden. So Rabbeinu Zal says, this refers to this halo of light which is covered up and hidden from view. It's not easily visible. Rabbeinu Zal explains, ki heim bechinas mo rav tuvcho asher tzofanto li reyecho. This refers to the light about which it's written in the pasuk, mo rav tuvcho. What is this great good asher tzofanto li reyecho, which you have hidden for those who fear you? Note the word Safun means hidden, and Safun, the Tzadik and the Samach, they are interchangeable. And this Mo Rav Tuvcho, we explained earlier, this light of Mo, what, this what, that's asked by the greatest Chacham of all. That's his concept of understanding of Hashem. V'zeh b'chinas, this is why the Pasuk says, Mishlei, the Pasuk says about the Torah, Hoiso ka'onios socher, that the wisdom of Torah is like a merchant's ship. A merchant's ship. No. Note, Loshen Schur Schur. We're comparing a ship, we're associating the word ship, which in Hebrew, we said one word for ship is Sfina. There's another word in Hebrew which means ship, which is the word Oniya. Aleph Nun Yud He means ship in Hebrew. Hoisok Oniya is Soicher. A ship of merchants. The Hebrew word for merchant is Soicher. Soicher means a merchant. In Aramaic, the word schur means round. Schur, schur. Wherever you see in Chumash the word saviv, the targum on it is schur, schur. So Rabbeinu Zal says, loshen schur, schur, bechinas makifin, shehein bechinas sfina. So note that the Hebrew word ship, we have about three or four proofs here that it's referring to this light of makifin. Because the word ship, number one, sofon means hidden, referring to this light of makifin that's hidden. And also we have this posik in Eishes Chayil that we say, hoisa ka'oniya is socher, like the ship of merchants. Oniya means ship. Socher is miloshen schur schur. Schur means round. The word socher, which means merchant, also means similarly the term round. So we see that this ship that they were right, the concept of these two rabbis who represented a concept of Ben V'Talmud, they were riding in this ship, and the Gemara relates a Maisa about them. Maisa referring to this light of Mo and Shin Ayin, and it tells us that they were riding in a ship in the ocean. All of this refers to the fact that these two incredibly great rabbis were trying to study this concept of the light of the Makifin and how it could be attained. Now we're going to discuss the actual story, and in the story we're going to see how each one of them fits into the picture. Mitzvah Shem, next week we'll continue from here. Oh, exactly. I meant to say it and I forgot again. The fact that you'll note that the first letters of this posuk, Mo Rav Tuvcho, Asher Tzofanto Lirecho, are exactly Begematria Shin Ayin, 370, referring to these 370 lights. The Sifrei Kabbalah bring that this is referring to these 370 lights of Kedusha again. So you see how everything is being tied in and retied and retied. Every word that's mentioned in this chapter has an association with whatever we're talking about. Baruch Hashem. And again, picture, we're learning this for the first time, and just we're learning it baby language on the lowest level conceivable, and you see there's incredible depth there. Picture people who are very, very learned. When they learn this chapter, picture the depth that they see in this. Picture Rebbe Zal, when he learned that if this Sefer, Likutei Moran, was described by Rebbeinu Zal as the holiest Sefer in existence, you could imagine that if this is what we see in it on our level, picture what learned people see in it. Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu, that we're learning it.